Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here today on the show. So, let's check out individual contributions here. What is your contribution, Sean, to today's show?
All right, we got our buddy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac. He'll be joining us at 3:35.
Good. And on my end, I've got Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. We'll talk Penn State football. And we'll also have Neil Coulong on today as well in the final half hour of the show. So that's what we have between our combined resources. Then tomorrow it's Peter King, Sports Illustrated, and John McClain.
Yes, the long time going on 4 decades of NFL reporting from the Houston Chronicle. So we will have Peter at 4:06 tomorrow and John McClain at 4:35.
Well, two of the best in the business right there back to back.
So if you want that, you want football talk, don't go anywhere else. We got you covered here. Why wait till next week, right?
I mean, if you want, we can do like an entire segment on IndyCar, but I'm trying to get people to listen.
We hear a lot of best of promotions for the morning stuff. We could say that next week and repeat these next week and call them. That could be our first time saying best of.
Yeah, we could. Because they would
qualify, wouldn't you? I would think they would qualify.
Well, the guests would. Yes, the guy asking the questions. No, I mean it's. I said to Lawrence, how about if I do a best of show? And he said, have you had one? I saw. Kind of shut me up in a hurry. Because I sat there and tried to think. I said, nah, you're probably right.
Did he text you this morning? Will you and Peter King get into an argument?
I hope you do. I hope so. I would doubt we will. All right? I would doubt that very much. So,
unless it has something to do with Little League Baseball average or something.
On base
percentage.
Or. He's way better than I was. I wasn't even close. He played high school ball. I played college ball. So, I mean, you know, he played at Ohio University. I mean, I'm not in the same league as him. And he's a better writer than I am. And, I don't know, might be better on the air, too. Who knows? But I think I call a decent game, though. How about that? All right. So that is the story in terms of what we have coming up on today's show and tomorrow's show. Then on Friday, my brother's here to pick the Pro Bowl. No? That's not it? Yeah, that's what we have coming up. Not bad. I can work with it. And there you go. That's what we have coming up. Then next week, we've got another wide variety of everything coming up.
Yeah, we're working on a this, that, and the other thing.
I love when we work, especially on the other thing.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. This, that's kind of normal, but the other thing, I'm into it.
You emphasized that to me this morning, the other thing, yes.
The other thing would be great. Now, we're going to reschedule Rich Ornberger, okay? That one's on me because I got back at 3:00 in the morning. I said to Sean, I couldn't be a ping pong ball this morning and run back and do certain things today. So, because I actually was up and I gave a speech this morning to a group at 8:00 this morning. I made a mistake in the speech. As a joke, after I gave the speech, I said, let's open it up for questions, which is the vast majority of time you're there. And I said, let me just answer the first question about me retiring. Okay. And that's all I said.
Well, there was a deep hush in the room.
I was actually heartened by the response by the crowd that evidently didn't want me to retire. So it was just a joke. I was trying to get people to laugh. They go, "We didn't think it was funny." I'm like, "Okay, I appreciate that. It beats getting good. Go, get out of here." But on 4 hours of sleep, what I thought was funny, they didn't think was funny. So that ended that pretty fast.
So quite a bit of nasty, snowy weather after leaving the ball game last night?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I mean, actually, the biggest problem leaving last night was actually fueling the plane. The fueling process for the plane was an issue until they brought over, I guess, a different truck or something. It's always something on travel. It's always something. But it's fine. We got out of there. It was snowing. Big deal. De-iced, left. Probably landed around 2:30 or something like that. And then you get a taxi. And I got to drive home. I walked in the door about 3 this morning. Just went right... Right into, I said, I'm going to sleep. And I slept some on the plane, too. But that's, I feel more for the kids. I mean, they had to go to class. I mean, I chose to make the speech this morning. I knew ahead of time it was on my schedule. And I said yes to it because I know they're always looking for people to do these things. So I said yes to it, and I was perfectly fine with it. And I was perfectly fine going over there. I had a nice big tall cup of coffee waiting for me. I thought, okay, this is all right. Okay. So, yeah. And got asked a lot of great questions and it was a lot of fun for me. I always enjoyed that part. I always enjoyed the interaction with people. I mean, there's a bottom line to this business that isn't really talked a lot about, but the reality is that we need you more than you need us. I mean, we like to think that you need us, but the reality is we need you, the listener, more. Pretty simple. And you have to, if you're going to do this job, you have to be smart enough to understand that. We need you more than you need us. Even though we're coming on all the time acting like you need us. Now, Sean, on the other hand, we do need Sean.
It's good to be needed.
Especially on this show. I mean, look at the handicap you've been given. I know we've lost the IndyCar audience with you coming on, but I think they're both getting over it.
Doug in Wellsboro is not one of those two.
No, Doug, my man Doug.
He's aces.
Always. There's not one time where Doug didn't ask a question, where I sat back and went, Every single question he's asked has always been a good question.
Yeah, and I'm like, why didn't I ask that?
I mean, I'm talking every single time. I don't care whether it's the network talk show or this show or whatever. Doug has always asked good questions. Always. Dick and Milton. You know what? Dick and Milton always ask really good questions. Really smart questions. Questions that make you think, questions that deserve an answer. I mean, our callers give us really great questions. I enjoy the caller part more than anything else we do in the show. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to have a Peter King on the show. It's a lot of fun to have a Mark Vandermeer on the show, a Bob Soci, I mean, whomever. Tim Brando we've had on the show, people like that. It's always been fun to have them on the show. It's the calls I enjoy more than anything else. Brett Musburger is going to retire, and he's going to do so at the end of the game between Georgia and Kentucky at Rupp Arena next Tuesday night. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jerry Dulac will join us, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, at 3:35. It'll be another therapy session for Sean as to whether Ben's giving it up or not. Between you and the suit, there's been more pacing than a maternity ward.
Oh, my mom, too. I had to talk my mom down off the ledge this morning.
Ben's
retiring. It's like, Mom,
he's not quitting. Jeez.
I would think, what, 2 or 3 more years, pending any major injuries or major hits that he would take?
Well, 505 sacks over 14 years. That's a big number. But he's not quitting. I think he's just frustrated by how everything played out. I think he's frustrated by the immaturity in the locker room. I think he's frustrated by the fact that maybe the coaching staff doesn't have the control over the locker room that he thinks it should. Antonio Brown frustrates him, and maybe some of the play calling of Todd Haley frustrates him. We'll talk to Jerry Dulac about that, and also Peter King about that as well tomorrow when Peter's on the show. A lot to talk to him about, too, with the NFL, concussions, Chargers, things like that. John McClain, same thing. It's going to be more than just, hey, John, the Super Bowl is coming to your city. What do you think? I'll ask about that. But there's a lot of issues that in the NFL you deal with. I mean, Houston lost a team. Houston then got a team because the McNairs put together a stadium proposal that was exponentially off the charts better than Los Angeles. That's how Houston got the team and not Los Angeles.
And just as dealings in day in and day out with Bill O'Brien now the last couple of years. He's been down there.
What, I don't know the answer to that?
Oh, I know you would. Oh, I know you would. Curious what John's dealings with OB the last few years.
I'll ask him about it. Believe me. Brett Musburger is going to retire. And it's not like he's retiring at the end of the year. He's retiring next week. And they made the announcement today that that game between Georgia and Kentucky will be his last game. Now, I don't know if this is any offshoot of the soft soap on the Joe Mixon situation in the Sugar Bowl, which I did not see him or hear him do. And the reason I didn't is that, Jack Hamm and I were doing the Rose Bowl. And then when the Rose Bowl was done, you're doing your own broadcast, which lapses over into the Sugar Bowl, and then Jack and I went back with the team, and then Jack and I had dinner together just downstairs in the sports bar downstairs in the hotel with all the TVs, and we watched some of the game there and heard Musburger in the background, but the Mixon thing didn't come up in the part that we watched. So I don't know if this is an offshoot of that or he's just had enough. I don't know. But he's starting a sports gaming. He's going to hell. I guess his family's going to do. He's going to move to Las Vegas and do this. And there are certain announcers that when they do a game, they bring a big game presence even to a big game. And certain guys have had that ability in their lifetime to be like that. Vin Scully was like that. Vern Lundquist was like that. Keith Jackson was like that. I think even in his own way, Chris Schenkel was like that. And Brent Musburger was like that, where you felt like he brought a presence, or, of course, it's the overused political term, or political word, I should say, the overused political word, but might fit here, a gravitas to it. When Keith Jackson did a game, it could be a middle-of-the-road game, but it felt bigger because he was doing it. And then when there was a big game, like Texas-USC, it was befitting that he did it. Well, Brent Musburger was like that. It felt like if he was doing a game, it was a little bit bigger in perception. And if it happens to be a big game, which you already perceived as being a big game, it fit the fact that he was the guy doing it. And Vern Lundquist was like that. Vin Scully was like that. Jackson, Musburger, Chris Schenkel, all those guys like that have been able to bring that presence that has been so important. I don't know in today's announcer group who brings that kind of presence. I mean, Joe Buck does, I think, brings that kind of presence. Jim Nance does. He brings that presence because they're always at the big events. I mean, Jim Nance is at the Masters, the Super Bowl. You know, Joe Buck's going to do the Super Bowl coming up. And they have a big game presence to them. Al Michaels, okay. Al Michaels is an obvious one. Al Michaels is doing something that feels bigger than... I don't care whether it's the days he did the World Series or now him doing Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels is obviously in that category. I'll tell you a guy that every time he's doing something, I feel like it feels bigger, is Dan Shulman. He's got a great voice, and I think he carries a presence about him. Sean McDonough does, too. But Musburger's done this over a long period of time. Early in his early days, when he was doing the NBA, it seemed like he was over the top and was criticized for being over the top. If you notice, he's really toned, over the years, he toned it and dialed it back and saved the over the top for over the top moments. And I did not like when they shuffled him off to the SEC network. And I don't care what anybody says. To me, going to the SEC network after you've done what he's done is a demotion. You're telling me he didn't have a primetime presence to him that you couldn't continue to utilize? You know, like anybody doing this, you're not going to be perfect. Which goes back to the Joe Mixon comments. And evidently how... I didn't hear it. Again, I did not hear it. I have read about it. But he's going to retire at the age of 77. And I will say this. There's probably five or six different times over the years where I sat down and just chit-chatted with him or whomever else was there. He is an awesome guy to talk to. Now, he doesn't know me by name. He knows I'm the Penn State announcer. And the number of times he'd say to me, hey, tell Joe Pa I said hi. I said, I will. You know, so I mean, he knew the job I did. He had no idea who I was, but he knew the job I did.
Early 90s, he called Little League World Series in South Williamsport following Jim McKay. Met him briefly for like 10 or 15 minutes. And about that time, Lycoming football was, they were going through a deep run in D2 football. And he goes, how are they going to be this year? It was 1 week right before their season started.
Right. Nope, and he loved doing the Little League World Series. He loved it. Says one of his favorite things to do was the Little League World Series. So it's off to Las Vegas now to start a handicapping business. Okay. Jerry Dulac, next half hour, talking about Big Ben and trying to talk Sean off a ledge.
Turbotville. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It doesn't sound like there were any arguments in that show, Sean. I don't get it. That's what we want. Very pleased to be joined by the outstanding Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jerry, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show.
Well, Steve, but thanks. It's always a treat to chat with you, and I hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Same to you, my friend. Appreciate it very much. Like everybody else, you heard what he said with Cookie and Pony yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger. What was your interpretation of where his frustrations lie right now?
Well, to me, while I understand that at age 34 and when you are the most sacked quarterback, most sacked player among active quarterbacks, now granted his sack total's been down the last 2 years, I understand your concern about the cumulative effect of your body taking hits. But when I heard that, my first reaction and remains is that there was an underlying message here that he wants to impart to upper management with his displeasure over something. Because, first of all, I mean, it's not like it's a money ploy. He has his contract is such that it's not that. So there has to be some other motivation for this, to me, beyond just concerns, if he, you know, that you might typically have going forward, you know, at his age. But I've always expected Ben to have at least three more good years in him and play, you know, 3 to 5 more years. You know, 5 might be stretching it, but it wouldn't have surprised me. That was going into this year. That would have put him at age 38. So I think there are some things along the way. You know, he's made a lot of, over the course of this season and past, but this one, whether he's talking about play calling or saying things that they send the plays in and I call them, and talking about audibles or not talking about audibles that maybe he made, you know, it leads you to believe there's probably some displeasure somewhere along the line. And so I think maybe a few things were said Monday after the game in some team meetings that may have upset him, or he didn't like what he heard. Who knows? But I think the cumulative effect of all that maybe is what is motivating those comments, not to dismiss any concerns he might have about his health going forward.
Exactly. You watched the game on Sunday. What were the, you know, we know the Patriots played well. We know Brady played well. But what, on your checklist, were the concerning areas where you looked at and said, boy, they are not in the same league with that team?
Yeah, there is no question. And they're not in the same league with that quarterback. And certainly when it's up there. You know, the Steelers have to hope for one or two things going forward. Is that Tom Brady retires, or that they play well enough during the regular season to make sure they get the number one overall seed.
Right.
That's about the only thing that's going to guarantee them going forward, unless somebody else can knock the Patriots off. But, that, you know, it's just about every time they play them, Steve, and this was obviously apparent the other day, that they really had no idea what they were doing and no concept how to stop them. And that became abundantly clear that, you know, if they thought they were going to run, he would throw. If they thought he was going to throw short, he would throw long. They thought he would throw long, he would check it down. You know, whether he went left, whether he went right, whether he went over the middle, they had no answer for it. And to me, the biggest problem was, look, their secondary has been pretty good during this 9-game win streak. It's been one of the surprises. I don't want to call it a strength, but it by no means was a weakness. But to me, despite the fact that they had been getting some sacks, their pressure from the edge has been a problem all year. To me, that has been their biggest weakness. And while James Harrison has played very well at age 38, there is a lack of consistency to get to the quarterback. And their game plan the other day was to create pressure up the middle, use their Stephon Tuitt and their rookie Javon Hargrave to create some lanes for Lawrence Timmons and Ryan Shazier to get pressure on Brady up the middle. Well, they blocked that up, and they dropped their outside guys way too much in coverage, and the net result is that there's no pressure on Brady, and you just can't let him stand back there and let his receivers flash open. He'll pick you apart every time, and it almost looked easy. And it wasn't just that he was completing passes, Steve. His receivers were wide open. He threw 44 times, I believe, and the Steelers didn't have one pass defense. That meant they didn't put their hand on one ball, but that just indicates how wide open those guys were the entire time. The Steelers, whether communication, lack of execution, confusion, whatever it was, all those things came into play, and it showed.
In fact, Jerry, on Friday going into the game, I said the number one key going in without question, they had to get some consistent pressure on Brady.
Right.
He may be the superhuman quarterback, but still human, because last year, for example, they didn't get to the Super Bowl, and he was under pressure 39% of the time last year, which was actually number one. And I just thought going in, the Steelers had to, and Jerry, they never got close to him.
Yeah, and of course that game was in Denver, and that makes a difference. But you know, Javon Hargrave on the second series tossed their rookie guard and sacked Brady. After that was about it. Stephon Tuitt had one pressure, and they had one other sack that was basically Brady looking to get out of the pocket, and they tackled him at the line of scrimmage for no gain. Even last week, the week prior, when Houston pressured him and hit him and knocked him to the ground and sacked him, that disrupted him, as we saw. He threw two picks. He'd only thrown two all year. He completed less than 50% of his passes, but they still won by 18 or 19 points, even right. when he was below average. But if you're not even going to do that, and he's going to be allowed to stand in that pocket, and your entire scheme is blocked up, then he's just going to kill you, and he did. And it's just, we've seen the story with the Steelers way too much. You know, Steve, it's funny. When you think about this, teams such as the Bengals and the Ravens draft to beat the Steelers. The only way you're going to get into the postseason or advance is to get out of your division. So they right. draft to beat the team that's typically in front of them every year. I don't think you can draft to get out of your conference into the Super Bowl. Right. But if you could, the Steelers should draft to get past Tom Brady because that's what stands in their way. They are a good football team. For 9 weeks, they were very good. They did not show that Sunday, and it was because of Tom Brady.
No question, Jerry. I want to ask about the Antonio Brown situation. In your opinion, the oddity is that when you look at the Super Bowl the last, let's say, 10 years, the, quote, diva receiver, none of them have made it, all right? How do you look at him? How is he to deal with, and has the organization handled his attitude the right way?
Well, Steve, it's funny you mention that because I actually write about this tomorrow, and I will kind of give you a preview. I'm not sure whether you know or not, but for the past 5 years, I do a weekly radio show with Antonio Brown every Tuesday night on the Steeler yep. Radio Network. And so, I have a pretty good feel for who and what Antonio Brown is. And is he a diva? Well, absolutely he is a diva. But and he knows himself that his behavior, his selfish behavior, he admits he wants the ball. He admits he's constantly complaining for it because he feels in his mind that he is the best receiver in the game. His numbers certainly show that. If he isn't the mm-hmm. best, he's one of them. And he feels if he has the ball in his hands, he can help them win the game. And the problem or that annoyance becomes exacerbated when they're trailing. It's become almost a weekly occurrence with him. So when you see a report like which was on the NFL Network, which by the way, was not true because it cited the touchdown by D'Angelo Williams that he was unhappy that he was open in the end zone. They didn't throw it to him. First of all, it was a running play. He never even ran a pattern. And he's shown celebrating with the touchdown signal, D'Angelo Williams' touchdown. But when those things happen with Antonio Brown, they see it every week. He has told me that Ben Roethlisberger tells him on the field, if not all the time, a lot of times, A.B., shut up. Even Heath Miller, the most mild-mannered Steeler of them all, last year during practice came over to him and said, hey, stop complaining about not getting the ball. And so Antonio Brown freely tells those stories because he knows, that it can be annoying to his teammates. But is it a problem? Is it divisive? No. Antonio Brown is the hardest working player on the team, Steve. He's not in trouble with the law. He doesn't have drug-related issues like Martavis Bryant. He's not spotted around town partying. He plays football. He works out at night, and he goes home and takes care of his kids. And so he's a likable kid. He's just his selfish behavior, admittedly, can be bothersome sometimes to his teammates. It bothers Ben Roethlisberger, who tells him shut up. But is it any type of element that is being portrayed that he's a problem on the team? I don't think anybody views him that way.
Interesting. Very interesting, insightful answer. Appreciate that. Jerry, what about when you look at the Falcons playing the Patriots? They'll have, obviously, Julio Jones. Okay? Right. He is a star receiver like Antonio Brown. But what he has on the other side was a free agent pickup in Mohamed Sanu, which helps. How badly do the Steelers miss a balance on the other side of Antonio Brown?
Well, there's no question, Steve. When you look at, let's go back to the end of last season and the way Martavis Bryant played when Antonio Brown was out of that Denver game. When you saw the catch and catches he made, that acrobatic tumbling catch against Cincinnati in the playoff game. This is a big-time wide receiver who has been told to me from inside the Steeler locker room might be the best wide receiver in the National Football League. That's saying a lot when Antonio Brown is on your own team. But it points up the type of player he is and the way they regard him. So you lose him. You lose your number two receiver from last year, Marcus Wheaton. You play at least three quarters of the season, certainly more than half of the season, without veterans Darius Heyward-Bey and Sammy Coates, who in the first five games of the year was had the most 40-yard catches in the league. Now these guys are hurt, so all of a sudden, and Ladarius Green, the guy you signed to help offset Martavis Bryant's loss, does not play till week 9 or 10. Now, all of a sudden, the wide receiving core or the receiving core you thought you had heading into 2016 is reduced to really next to nothing. You're playing guys who were on the practice squad, who you had to sign, and so their receiving core beyond Antonio Brown is basically average. Eli Rogers was their top receiver, and he was on IR all of last year. So at one point, the only receiver Ben Roethlisberger was playing with, other than Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown was the only one he had the year before. So that was not what they expected, and it certainly became a problem because they had what they thought was going to be a dangerous, big time receiving corps, and it was nothing like that.
Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for the time, as always. I really enjoy the conversation very much, and hope to see you soon.
Well, Steve, thank you, and it's always good chatting with you.
The outstanding Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, one of the real class acts, great guy, and anytime we ask him about something, he jumps right in and talks with us. Again, the ability to get the suit off the ledge was important there. I feel like we've saved him. What about you, Sean? You all right?
Mission accomplished. I'm great.
You're fine now.
Mom's great, too.
And okay, now you know Ben's just upset. He's just upset. But, you know, it's interesting to see how this is going to play out, because it's obvious, and Jerry's absolutely right about this, you know, and he knows better than anybody. There's something bothering him, and it's not being sacked 505 times in his career. As Jerry mentioned, the last 2 years, that line's been pretty good for him, and this year the line I thought was really good for him. Okay, so it's not that. There's something deeper that's bothersome here with Roethlisberger, that by making a public statement, public stand, I think now he's got the ear of people who are willing to listen to what the issue happens to be. All right. We will take a break. Between you and the suit, pacing back and forth, you're wearing a hole in the carpet between that and the water cooler.
I am trying to get 10,000 steps a day, so.
How is Jen Wakeman supposed to work when you guys are, like, creating a trough? Yeah, how's she supposed to work? Yeah, I don't understand that.
Trust me, when it's time to slide out of the way, she tells us to get out.
That should not surprise you at all.
Actually,
the second she says move, I know I'm moving out of the way. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $215 per month. This is not a lease payment. $215 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Subray Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Subray Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with the Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Subray Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $215 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 84 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra. Shikellamy and Sealands Grove in high school basketball tonight. The Chief Dave Ritchie with the call. What, did I miss something?
Did you? I'm not sure. Oh, I think you did.
Is Mike Ferlazzo now doing Shikellamy basketball?
Mike's been in Florida this week. He's dipping his tootsies in the Atlantic Ocean. Extremely jealous. He's been, last couple of days, he's been in St. Augustine, Florida.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's the first play-by-play guy that we've had that deserved that vacation.
And ironically enough, it's with Coach Hort. They had lunch today. Post a little Facebook photo.
Isn't it amazing how they've bonded together?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I mean, that kind of gives you that forever team feeling, doesn't it?
Well, I knew Mike was in Florida, then all of a sudden it's, oh, wow, there's a lunch picture outside al fresco with the big old umbrella, him and Horty having lunch today with some other great folks. Yeah, it was a cool photo.
Isn't that great how the two of them have bonded?
Yeah.
I mean, and Coach Hort saying, what, the greatest year I ever had on the air?
That says something there.
The greatest year I ever had on the air. I never had more fun ever. Oh. How many years have you done it? Well, I feel like it's just really one. So the Chief tonight, Dave Ritchie, will have the call of the game this evening. Looking forward to it. Anybody else we need to think of? Or? I guess what the suit's part of that broadcast. Now he's made his triumphant return to broadcasting, right? We had a press conference, didn't we?
Yes.
And Musburger called his final game. I was wondering if we'd get another retirement announcement from somebody.
Too many people are leaving us and retired. Then we find out Mary Tyler Moore's passed.
I know.
A TV icon. Slice of Americana.
We always stay, when Penn State plays Minnesota in basketball, we always stay across from the Nicollette Mall at a Marriott. And at the Nicollette Mall, where the Macy's is, that's the intersection where she tossed her hat in the air. And they have the statue of her tossing their hat in the air. That's at the corner. So every time we go past there, we always pay tribute to Mary Tyler Moore. There she is. But, you know, I mean, 80 years old. She's diabetic. And that's what really, in the end, got her was the fact that she was diagnosed being a type 1 diabetic at the age of 33. She made it to 80 years old, but it was a struggle for her over the course of her life. And then at the end, it really got her, you know, finally at the end. But that's, I mean, you know, that's not whether you list the cause of death, but that's going to be, you know, all the problems that she had emanate from the fact that she was a severe type 1 diabetic. Not easy. And she had to live the last 47 years of her life, you know, constantly having that treated. So, constantly having it treated. She was 80 years old. And she was an icon from the Dick Van Dyke Show to the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
That's enough for a resume right there.
Well, and then movies. She was in the movie Ordinary People, which won an Academy Award. She was brilliant in that. Very serious, dark. She won Tony Awards for her work on Broadway. 80 years old, Mary Tyler Moore. And Brent Musburger retired today. It's going to go to a sports gaming business in Las Vegas.